The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Jesus promised us abundance. John 10:10, he said that we'll have life and we'll have it more abundantly. We can be winners in the game of life. That doesn't mean that we will not have problems, situations arise in our life, setbacks. Everyone will. Everyone does. But we can still be the kind of winner, the one that has the abundant life flowing out of us that Jesus Christ promised. He wants us to live above our circumstance. He wants us to live above our situations that arise in our life. He wants us to live above that flat tire we'll have Monday morning. He wants us to live above the problem, the minor issue that we have to deal with between our relationship with our spouse and our children. And whatever's taking place in our life, that workplace situation, he wants you to live above these things in your life. He does not want you to be affected. He doesn't want your attitude to be affected by the situations that occur in your daily life. Your attitude has to be above that. Your attitude has to be a spiritual attitude. Your attitude has to be one that says you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, regardless of what is going on. Amen? Amen. We have a couple people that agree with that. That's praise God. I think we have two more this week than we had last week, so we're gaining. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. We're getting there. I do believe we understand the kind of abundance that Jesus Christ wants us to have. And we've talked about abundance in various areas of life. We talked about last week. I talked about fathers and being a proper father according to the Word of God and being a winning father. Winning is important in the kingdom of God. You know, we're in a battle. We do know that, right? Spiritual warfare. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Heavenly realms. They're in the heaven. The God of this world is Satan himself. And he has a realm here. He has a place in this world and in the atmosphere around us. And he operates. And his forces are operating to conquer and defeat the kingdom of God that is here in this earth. How many know the kingdom of God is here? Amen. It's not just, you know, pie in the sky and a sweet by and by. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus said, he said, the kingdom is here. When he was walking on the face of the earth, he said, the kingdom is at hand. What he was saying is, the kingdom is present with you because he was walking around here. He was the king. And wherever the king goes, the kingdom is present. And the king did something when he left here. He delegated authority to his people. Amen. That's something to get excited about. That means that you have authority in this earth and in this life to walk in kingdom abundance, kingdom power. The kingdom is in you. But you're going to have to take authority. You have to walk in authority. You have to have the attitude of authority in your life. You have to know that you have been given this authority through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Kingdom authority. To walk the way God wants you to walk. That's why I can talk about the game of life and say you're a winner. You win. Because you have the abundance that Jesus Christ promised. You have it's living inside of you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's in you. You cannot get more abundance than that. It's there. We just don't act like it. We just don't walk in it. We don't grasp and hold on to authority that we have. And I'm just as guilty as everybody else. I forget sometimes. who I am in Christ. I forget sometimes the authority that has been given me. I forget the responsibility. Here's the thing, the responsibility that I have to be a kingdom representative. When we forget the responsibility that we have, we begin to get selfish and self-centered. It's all about us. But that it's not. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about doing His work in this earth. So we can recognize that we have the authority to walk and have abundance. You have been given the responsibility to walk in abundance in your life, so that you walk around sharing the kingdom, expanding the kingdom of God wherever you go. And it's not about what appears in your life, what people see or think they see. It's about what God has spoken over you and through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Jesus didn't always look like he had abundance, did he? No, he was a carpenter. Preaching and teaching the Word of God. He didn't look like he had abundance for everything that he needed. But any time he encountered a situation, boom, the abundance was there. People need to be fed, 7,000 fed. 5,000 another time. Somebody needed to be healed, it was done. He didn't dress. You know, Jesus didn't dress for success in his time. You know that? The successful people that were dressing, they dressed in royal robes. And they flaunted their success, just like people flaunt their success today. People flaunt their success today. Big house, big cars. You know, we tend to say a person is successful because of the things they have. And what we think they have accomplished. Jesus Christ, when he walked on the face of the earth, was the most successful person that ever walked on the face of the earth. Because any time he called on the power of God, it was there. That's the abundance we need to have. So last week we talked about fathers walking in the abundance. And being the kind of father that God wants you to be. Today I want to talk a little bit to you about your relationship with your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever. You know, whether you have a relationship with somebody or you're going to have a relationship with somebody, this is very important information. You need this information because it's biblical information. It's God-ordained information. A relationship needs to be a godly relationship. Husbands and wives, you need to embrace one another according to the Word of God. You need to understand your roles. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit and respect your husbands. Now that word submit is a word that conjures up all kinds of emotions in our society today. Because when I say submit, many women immediately start thinking, I'm not submitting to any man. You know where that attitude comes from? Listen, that is not a God attitude. And I understand, you gotta hear where I'm coming from on this. I understand God does not want you to be a doormat. He doesn't expect that. When we say submit, we're saying that that word in the King James really means that you are willfully giving over the ability to that man to watch over you and keep you the way Jesus Christ has kept the church and loved the church. That's what it's talking about. And guess what? From the time that the church was birthed, Jesus has kept the church. You know how many tyrants and despots have tried to destroy the church? tried to wipe it out. From the very beginning, they were trying to completely destroy the church. They've tried to do away with the Word of God. They've tried to destroy and put down the Church of Jesus Christ. And guess what happens? Every time they try, it grows stronger and bigger. Because Jesus loves the church, and He's not going to let anything happen to the church. That's the same kind of relationship we're talking about between husband and wife. You see, the commitment to submit is one of headship and understanding what headship is all about. Jesus Christ being the ultimate head. Amen? Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But there's things in regards to this relationship that we need to nurture and we need to encourage. During the second World War, a gentleman by the name of John Blanchard, he was a lieutenant in the Army, and he was stationed in Florida. And during that time, he was getting ready to be sent to Europe to be a part of World War II. And he knew that he was going to be gone for about 13 months. And he was getting ready, and one day he just decided he was going to go into the library. He went to the library, and he started looking through some books, and he found one book that intrigued him, and he started reading it, and he liked the book, but more important, what he saw written in the margins. There were some notes taken in the margin. And he started reading those, and he realized that this person that was writing this stuff was a very loving and compassionate person, and he realized that it was feminine writing. So he flipped to the back to see who it was that had this book out the last time, and the person's name was Hollis Maynard. And he was so intrigued by this person and some of the things that she was saying in this book that he went to great lengths to get her name and her phone number. And he called her up because he wanted to talk to this person. Now, you have to understand, this World War II, the mindset during that time, two single people, this is a true story. He called her up, and they talked for hours. How many of you had a relationship, beginning of that relationship, you just wanted to talk and talk and talk to that person, right? Yeah, you'd talk to him for hours on the phone. Not me. I don't talk on the phone. I don't like to talk on the phone. But Tammy would call me and talk for hours. Hallelujah. They talked for hours that night. They wanted to meet. The problem was he was going to be deported the next day. So they decided they were going to have a relationship writing to one another with letters. For 13 months, they wrote letters to one another. During that time, they realized that they were starting to fall in love with each other. Now, how is it that two people can fall in love with one another and never seen the other person? There's something about love that is more than just physical attraction, right? There's something very, very deep that touches our emotions. So they began to form this relationship with one another. And at one point he said, "I'd like to have a picture of you." And she said, "No, if you really love me, it doesn't matter what I look like." How many men would say that's not true? Come on. Come on, guys. Back me up here. We're visual creatures. There is something about what a person looks like. We know that, but there's something more important about your emotional attraction. So anyhow, that was where they left it until he returned. And they decided that they were going to meet at Grand Central Station, and during that time, Grand Central Station was a very, very busy place. So they decided they were going to meet, and the way they were going to know that each other was, of course, he was going to be in his uniform, but he was going to be carrying the book that they both loved. And she was going to be carrying a rose. Well, he got off the train that day, and he was, you know, great excitement and anticipation. He'd never seen this woman before, but he had great, he had emotional attraction to her. And as he was walking through the Grand Central Station, he saw a young lady coming toward him. She was dressed in green. She had beautiful blonde hair, blue eyes. Her face was, the shape of her face was perfect, and her shape overall was magnificent. And he was just attracted to that young lady, and she was looking right at him. And she was dressed in this beautiful green outfit. And as they were walking toward one another, he was just so attracted to this woman. And as she went by, she just kind of smiled at him as if to say, "You going my way, soldier?" But one thing he realized was she wasn't carrying a rose. And she walked on by. And he said it was all he could do was to control himself and not chase after that woman. But he was looking for a lady with a rose. And he looked up in front of him, and there she was, the lady with a rose. She was probably in her 40s, not very well dressed. Her hair was stuffed under her hat. Her thick ankles were stuffed into her shoes. She was not really very attractive. And he thought to himself, "I want to go that way." But then he said, "Now wait a minute. This may not be a marriage situation, but this person, I have an emotional attraction and attachment to her. And this just may be a lifelong friendship, but I have a commitment that I have to fulfill." And he went to this lady, and he introduced himself, and he said, "Of course, I'm Lieutenant John Blanchard, and you must be Hollis Maynard. I would like to invite you to dinner with me tonight." And she looked at him with a great big smile, and she said, "I don't know what this is all about, young man, but that lady in the green suit, she gave me this rose, and she said something about it being a test. She said, if you invite me to dinner, she's across the street in the cafe waiting on you." What a story. I mean, this is a true story. I love that story because it shows something. This man had an emotional attachment. This lady had an emotional attachment, but there was more to it. He showed some commitment that regardless of what his desire was at the time, his emotions, he was going to follow through with his commitment. That's really what love is all about. That's what this relationship that we have with one another when it comes to Christ. Listen, if you base your relationship with your spouse or the one that you believe you're going to spend your life with, if you base it on nothing more than a feeling, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Because feelings fade. Feelings come and go. There has to be much more to it than that. There has to be an absolute commitment that no matter what's happening, where you're going or how you feel today, that you are committed to this person and you're going to stand with them no matter what. Because there's going to come times when you're going to wish you had a way out. And let me tell you something, the world gives you a way out. It's very easy. It's very simple. Let's talk about this a little bit this morning. What causes two people to feel like they're falling in love with each other? I think it's romance. It's what we call romance. Romance is to be given to feelings or thoughts of romance, adventure, idealism, characterized by or conducive to love. So romance is really idealistic. Romance, however, is the key, I believe, to stirring and encouraging love in a relationship. Romance is the feeling of being in love with your mate. It's a combination of caring which is selfless love, and attraction, desire. This combination of love and desire strengthens and brings life to the relationship, to the marriage relationship. And you know, we all know that when a man and woman meet, we're dating, everybody puts on their best face, right? It's always been that way. That's why you can't trust each other in the beginning. It's a reality. You're putting on your best, always. Remember, romance is idealistic adventure contributing to love. When a man has romantic intentions toward a woman and vice versa, they put on their best face. If they're going out together, guy washes, presses his pants, puts on his best shirt, puts on his best clothes. He makes arrangements at the best restaurant. He cleans his car of all the 50 trash bags in the back. You know, he gets everything spick and span. And she spends, if she knows far enough in advance, she spends days getting ready for that date. In front of the mirror half the time. Changing outfit 50 times. Preparing, trying to have everything exactly right so that the experience is the best it can possibly be. When he comes to pick her up, he's shining from head to toe. And likewise, she comes out looking like Vogue magazine. Ready. Now, this is a stark contrast to individuals who have been married for a couple years. Think about it. You know, we wake up in the morning, we both got bad breath. And we breathe on each other. Our hair's a mess. We get up and walk around the house looking like zombies. Till we finally get our cup of coffee. Instead of saying good morning, we just grunt at each other. This is real life. The other is idealistic. So when you come to that point in your life, if it's all about appearance and emotion, it's going to be gone. There's nothing left. What it has to be about at that point is commitment to one another. Totally, absolutely committed to doing what is right and what is good and what God wants done. And I would add, we need to work on our appearance always and keep ourselves looking good and do, you know, women, if you're running around the house all day with curlers in your hair, most people don't even use curlers anymore, do they? Yeah. Okay, what would you do? Just running around the house with your hair uncombed, your night clothes on? You know? Come on, waiting for your Prince Charming to sweep you off your feet in the mornings. You got to do something to encourage that. You know, if you look like a hag, what kind of a man wants to come home to a hag? And men, on the other hand, if you're stomping around, bad attitude, screaming and yelling, never, you know, forgetting about deodorant and cologne and never shaving. Jim, I'm just pointing at you this morning. Are you growing a beard? for Bible school. Great. I didn't want you to think I was picking on you. I mean, if you have a beard, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a beard. But I'm just saying too lazy to clean up, basically. Facial hair, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. I believe God's going to let guys with mustache and beards into heaven. You know, we'll just have to wait and see. Praise God. But what I'm trying to say is that we have a responsibility to one another. Come on. We're not all movie stars. You know, we're not the prettiest people in the world. That's what they are. They get all the pretty people and put them on screen. Now, they might look good, but I tell you what, you get around them, you're going to find out that they're not good. Many of them. You look at their lifestyle and you look at the things that have happened. Most of them, if you want to find out what it's like to have relationship after relationship after relationship, look at the movie stars. They're supposed to be the successful people in this world. And they must be the most miserable because every time you turn around, they're marrying one here. Today they're married, tomorrow they're not. And the next day they've got another guy or woman that they're going to marry. What's going on? They're looking for something to fulfill their life. And it's not the relationships with people. You know? Our foremost and the most absolute most important thing in our life is Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. When Tammy and I accepted Christ as our personal Savior, it changed us completely and totally. We went from a relationship and a marriage that was about to disintegrate to two people that was once again in love and made choices. Now we learned biblically, to make proper choices to show the love toward one another. We had to learn some things, but we did. We were willing to learn and grow. We learned from Christian teachers. We learned from authors. We learned some things that helped us. And some things I want to share with you this morning. I'm getting a little off track here right now. But I just want you to understand, this can be a learning process. If you're having issues in your marriage today or in relationships in the past, today can be a brand new day for you. A new day to start and begin to do things God's way. All right. First Corinthians chapter 13. I've already talked a little bit about this, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. First Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse 4. Now, all that is... the rest of that's very important stuff, but I just want to share with you what it says about love. And though, first of all, let's go back to 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Then it goes on to say, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. If we would take that scripture and apply it to our marriages, our relationships, we would have zero problems. This is talking about love. Now, a lot of people read this scripture and they say to themselves, that's the way I deserve to be treated. And that's not what Paul's saying here. What he's trying to teach us is this. This is the way you're supposed to treat other people. This is the kind of love that you're supposed to show to others, and particularly those closest to you. If you can't show it to those closest to you, how are you going to show it to some guy down the street or your enemy who slaps you in the face? Some would say, well, my spouse is my enemy, because you've gotten to a point in your life where that is happening. I would love for that to change in the body of Christ. That's not God's will, His desire. He wants us to be drawn together with a unique kind of love, the agape kind of love, the God kind of love. That's more than physical attraction. It's more than emotional bonding. It's the kind of love that says, no matter what, I'm going to love. No matter what. So we're talking about, what the scripture is talking about here, and what I want to point out is the first thing this morning that is so important is commitment. Being committed. And I've already talked about it extensively, so we're going to move on. Commitment. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Turn there, please. Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. I already talked some about submission. If you go back to verse 21, Paul is writing here and he says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. He's not just talking about women submitting to men. He's talking about people submitting to one another. The importance of us submitting. Husbands, yeah, you're supposed to submit to your wife as well. That means that you're going to submit your will to hers. And she's going to submit her will to yours. And yes, I believe in headship. I believe in the responsibility of the man to carry the weight of his household. I believe that God has called men to rise up and stop being wimps in their family. I believe He's called you to financial responsibility in your household. That doesn't mean that you have to make all the decisions day to day. It means that you have to be on top of things and recognize what's going on financially in your family and make sure that things are being done God's way. If you're not tithing, you can't blame your wife. And many men try to. If you're not handling your finances properly, you can't blame that woman. God has called you to be on top of things. He's called you to work together with her to accomplish all these things. You have responsibility, and whether you like it or not, one day you are going to stand before Almighty God, and He's going to hold you accountable for the decisions that were made in your family. So if you're making her responsible for all the discipline, you're going to be held responsible. You got to rise up, man. We've got to be more than just figureheads in our family. That's what's wrong with our society today. We've relinquished all of our responsibility. And what we like to do, watch sports, play golf, read magazines about hunting or whatever. We like to kick back and take it easy because we've been working hard all day. We're right. Come on, guys. There's more to this thing. There's spiritual responsibility. Rise up. Hallelujah. But I'm not letting you women off the hook either. Because listen, you must understand this responsibility that you have to relinquish some decisions to your husband. That doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be a part of it. But here's what it comes down to, that when he feels like God is saying you're supposed to do this, you let it go. And you say, okay, that's between you and God. I want to tell you something, your home will be a much happier place. If you want to be treated like a thoroughbred, stop being a nag. Rise above that. God wants you to be treated like a thoroughbred. And you deserve it. But stop trying to hold on and pull all the strings. Some of you do it openly, some of you do it covertly. Manipulation and control. Stop it. Work together with that man. Man, work together with your wife. You're a team. God says you're one flesh. That's what he's called you to. Accomplish it according to God's will. Romance is an important part of this. Men, sometimes we forget about how important it is to romance our spouse. We need to do things for them. Send them cards. Give them notes. You know, I forget about how important it is to do this from time to time, but I was just reminded the other day, I had written a little note, just, I love you, Rob, to Tammy. Oh, it's been a couple of years ago. She had pasted this on some kind of a transmitter. I'm not sure what it is, but with our internet. And it was sitting on her desk for a long, long time. And somehow it got, rather than being on the desk, it was put up in the ceiling of in the office. And the other day, I was trying to figure out why we didn't have such a good signal, so I had to climb up in the ceiling and get that thing down and bring it down to where it looked, you know, where we thought maybe we'd get a better signal. Didn't work, but anyhow. But pasted to that thing was this little note that I had written to her. I love you, Rob. It reminded me how important it is, because she cherishes those things. Now, I've told you before, my wife is not much of a flower person. And if your wife is, you should buy her flowers. You know, and I believe that. Buy her flowers. And I'll tell you where to get them. Francis Flores. Don't go to Walmart. I don't have anything against Walmart, but Walmart doesn't tithe here at Bethel Worship Center. Walmart doesn't contribute to the weddings and the things that go on around here in this church. Walmart doesn't give their time to Bethel Worship Center or to you and your family. Francis Flores does. I'm telling you, we need to support one another. If you know people in this church that are doing business, do business with them. Make an effort to do that. It's important. And beyond that, then find Christians to do business with. Now, everybody that says they're a Christian, you can't trust that. We all know that. But if you get some input from other people, you know the people you can trust. But I really believe we should be doing business with believers when we can. Absolutely. All right, I've gotten off track. Hallelujah. You know, when you start thinking about romance, you have to understand that it's not about, our love is a commitment. However, if you do not stir the emotion of love in your relationship, it begins to fade and die. It'll wither up like a plant that's not being watered properly. It'll just wither up and And it will eventually, it'll die. And we don't want that. We want to understand that there is something about doing special things for one another. People go outside of their marriage relationship to get fulfillment because they're not being fulfilled with it. I'm not condoning that. I'm telling you this is a reality. And it's happening everywhere, including the church. It's not right. I'm not condoning it. But I want to tell you something. You can keep it from happening in your relationship if you do the right things. Stir those emotions. Socrates was a philosopher. And he said, by all means, marry. If you get a good wife, you'll be happy. If you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher. All right. Number three I want to talk about is what goes around comes around, or the principle of sowing and reaping. Turn to Galatians real quick. I'm going to wrap things up very quickly. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Excuse me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while we're doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Sowing and reaping principle. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, I've heard this taught many, many times in regards to finances. I've heard it taught in different things. But the reality is, sowing and reaping is a principle that applies to every area of our life. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Whatever you put in the ground is going to come up. We know this in farming. How many have ever planted corn in your garden? You've taken little kernels of corn and planted them. We got a few farmers in here. People have planted gardens. When you went back out and it started growing, what was growing up? Corn was growing. Why? Because that's what you put in the ground. You didn't put corn in the ground and expect potatoes to grow. If you did, you're a fool. You're not much of a farmer. You know nothing about farming. You planted the seed that you wanted to reap. This applies to every area of your life. Yes, it applies to finances. You want to reap finances, you plant finances. You sow your seed. You use your seed. Sometimes people get caught up with their seed thinking that their seed is their harvest. No, God has given you a seed to plant so you can harvest. That's a teaching all by itself. But when it comes to relationship, if you want the right kind of relationship, you have to sow the right kind of seed. What did it say about love? Love is kind. It's not self-seeking. It never seeks its own. It seeks what is best for the other. That's the kind of thing we've got to plant in our relationship. That's what God is calling us to do as believers in Jesus Christ. Plant those kind of seeds. You want to reap good things in your relationships, whether it's with your spouse, your children, your family, you better plant good things in their life. In his book, His Needs, Her Needs, Willard F. Harley Jr. compares the principle of sowing and reaping to banking. And I think it's a good comparison. Because if I was to go to Farmers Bank and I deposited $500 in my checking account And the next day, I would go and write a $510 check. What would happen? It'd bounce all over this community, wouldn't it? It'd bounce and bounce and bounce. Because there's not enough funds in the account. There's nothing there. I mean, there was some, but not enough. And here's what he tries to make the comparison. That in your emotional bank account, unless we make the right kind of deposits, when we have minor issues and disagreements, how many know conflict is just a part of life? You're going to have conflict. Marriages are going to have conflict. You're not always going to agree. You're going to have those issues. So when you have an issue, a conflict, that conflict will either be a molehill or a mountain based on the deposits that you have made in the positive into your spouse's love bank. Because what happens, what seems to happen most often is a little thing like, you know, you didn't take out the trash. Well, you didn't iron my shirt. Or whatever it is. You didn't fix dinner. Becomes where it could have just been something that would have been over just like that. It becomes a mountain of explosion that turns into a huge battle. And when it's all over with, and when there's casualties, everybody looks back and they can't even remember why we got or how we got to this point. I can tell you how you get to that point. You get to that point by not depositing proper deposits into your spouse's love bank. You'll miss it. And you've got to begin to deposit the right kind of deposits, the right things that will encourage them, that build them up, the thank yous, the I love yous, the notes, whatever it is. There are many things. There's a book called The Five Love Language, which I encourage you all to get. Read that book, The Five Love Languages. In that book, it gives five different languages. I'm sure there's more than that, but this one pinpoints five different love languages that people have. Let me get those and read them to you. Service is one. Gifts. Words of affirmation. Quality time. Receiving gifts. Physical touch. Acts of service. And these things are so important that we understand that each person has specific love language, one or two love languages that speaks volumes to them. All of us need every one of these in our life, and we need to concentrate on it. But there is specific, for instance, Tammy's love language is acts of service because she's a servant. And, you know, being a servant, she wants service. When she does things for me, it's because she's saying to me, I love you and I care for you. But my love language is physical touch and words of affirmation. So, you know, I understand that that's her love language and that's the reason she does those things for me. But what really floats my boat is when she comes up and says, I love you, you big hunk of a Superman, and gives me a big, gives me a hug, you know. You're a special guy. You know. Man, I walk away feeling I'm pretty good. I don't need that kind of stuff from anybody but my spouse. You know? I don't want this to sound cocky, but, you know, I'm pretty confident in who I am. I don't need everybody, and people do, and that's great, and I think we should encourage people. People pat me on the back and say, good job, Pastor Rob. Keep up the good work. We need to do that to one another. But I want to tell you something. It is totally different when my wife says, I love you. You did a great job. And what she needs is acts of service. She needs me to wash the dishes. She needs me to help with the housework. She needs me, when she requests something to be done, she wants me to do it. You know, that's the way it is. And if I want to speak love into her life, I better do that. If I want her to know that I really love and care for her. Now, if I don't care, then I'll just go about and do my own thing. But listen, I don't want to live a miserable life. The Word of God says it's better to live on a housetop than to live in a large mansion with a nagging woman. I don't want to live there. Now, I'm not saying Tammy's a nag. She's a thoroughbred. But we can create our own circumstance. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is that we have some responsibility in this thing. All of us do. We've got to work on our, if we want to win at the game of life in regards to our love and our marriages, we have to do some things to make it everything it can be. Most foremost is get your life right with Jesus Christ. Make sure that you're walking according to His will for your life. Make sure you embrace it. Make sure you love Him more than anything else in your life. God, Jesus Christ first, your spouse, then your children. Don't get that mixed up. A lot of people have ruined their families by getting that all mixed up. Children and then spouse. Or children work and then spouse. Or children work and play and then spouse. You know, the further down you put that spouse, the more difficult life is going to be in your household. Get them up there. Elevate them where they're supposed to be. Stand with me. Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, we share your word this morning. I just ask that you touch hearts and help us to understand your will. You've called us to be servant. You said that it is better to be a servant than to be the greatest of all. But you've also said that the greatest among you must be a servant. So when we walk in positions of authority and responsibility, it's to be as a servant, not as a taskmaster. Yes. Not with authority, you're going to do what I say, but come and follow me. I'll show you the way. Help us to do that, Father. Help us to always recognize that it is love that we have to embrace, whether it's in our spouse, our children, our relationships, our church. Help us to walk in love, your kind of love, Lord. Commitment to one another. And we just ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited to be able to share this message with you. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about our ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at www.bethel.org. Have a blessed day.